Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. I'm pleased to say joined once again by one of the country's preeminent experts on an incredibly important subject that has for far too long received inadequate attention and, more to the point, inadequate corrective action. And that is the vulnerability of America's electric grid, the bulk power distribution system that is really the most critical of our critical infrastructures. He is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. He has served in numerous capacities in our government and now in a quasi-governmental role. He has been a CIA analyst. He has been a member of the professional staff of the House Armed Services Committee. He was a staff member of the incredibly important Electromagnetic Pulse Threat Commission, and now is the executive director of the EMP Task Force, which advises the Congress on national and homeland security. Peter Pry, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's great to have a chance to visit with you.
Oh, always a pleasure to be on, Frank. Thank you for having me.
I want to talk about a couple of things, Peter. Perhaps first and foremost, we have had yet another wake-up call, I guess if you might want to say it that way. This week, parts of official Washington, including elements of the White House complex, the Department of State, the Department of Energy, I think parts of the Congress, that were blacked out, apparently due to some sort of malfunction in a transformer, and not for very long. But what should be the takeaway, as you see it, from this latest episode?
Well, first, I do think it should be a wake-up call. And while the official storyline is that this was a mechanical accident that resulted in a small explosion, as you well know, Frank, the electric utilities really can't be trusted to tell the truth to the American people about all these matters. Back in 2013, there was this attack on the Metcalf Transformer substation outside of San Jose, California, and they basically tried to dismiss that as vandalism. And it took the resignation of John Wellinghoff, who was the chairman of the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to break the story to the Wall Street Journal 9 months later that this was probably a terrorist attack, a professional operation practicing to take out the larger American grid. So that was the opinion of Wellinghoff and of the people who trained the U.S. Navy SEALs who looked at that. These threats aren't just theoretical, they're real. Just last week, the country of Turkey was blacked out. They're still investigating the reasons for that. Some have speculated it might have been a cyber attack that brought down the Turkish grid. It's interesting to note that the only province in Turkey that didn't suffer from that blackout imported its energy, its electrical energy, from Iran. And that's the only part of Turkey that didn't go into blackout.
Very interesting indeed. Peter, this is part of a larger problem, as you say. There's physical sabotage threats. There are cyber threats. There's also the danger that through one means or another, in a localized fashion using radio frequency weapons or in a strategic fashion detonating a nuclear weapon over the United States, we might be subjected to this phenomenon you've done so much to both explore and raise awareness about, namely electromagnetic pulse or EMP. I wanted to talk with you especially in light of an announcement I just saw yesterday that the United States Department of Defense is going to, well, I guess, reutilize an amazing facility that was built during the Cold War, Cheyenne Mountain, because of its resilience against electromagnetic pulse sorts of threats. Talk a little bit about that facility and why this might be an important indication that at least some in the United States government are beginning to get their heads around how serious a threat this EMP danger is.
Yeah, when I was on the House Armed Services Committee, those of us concerned about the EMP threat were very critical of the decision to move the NORAD headquarters and Space Command out of Cheyenne Mountain.
That's, of course, the North American Air Defense Command and Space Command,
which provides early warning of incoming attacks and looks for space threats against the United States. You know, it's absolutely critical to the operation of our nuclear deterrent. And instead, they moved into Peterson Air Force Base, which, as you noted before we had this interview, isn't hardened against anything, not against EMP, not against blast effects. We were particularly concerned about the EMP vulnerability because we know that the bad guys know about EMP, which is basically it's a super energetic radio wave that's got so much energy in it that it can fry electronics across the whole continental United States potentially and even penetrate facilities, the E3 part of the EMP, and affect underground cables and things of that sort. Now, Cheyenne Mountain, NORAD headquarters, was hardened against EMP effects. That was a huge step backwards in terms of our vulnerability. The assumption had been that the Cold War was over and we didn't need to be there anymore, and that it was they were going to save a little money in terms of maintaining the place. So it's all for the good, and maybe it's also a sobering up and realizing that the world is a more dangerous place now, with a Russia threatening nuclear war on a regular basis over Ukraine and the Baltics and other matters. North Korea practiced a nuclear EMP attack against the United States back in 2013 during the worst nuclear crisis we ever had with North Korea.
Talk a little bit about that, Peter, because I think most of us would not be familiar with what you're talking about.
Sure. In the aftermath of North Korea's third illegal nuclear test in February of 2013, the Obama administration moved to increase sanctions against North Korea through the United Nations. And Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, started threatening to make nuclear missile strikes against our allies and against the United States itself. The Obama administration, while on the one hand publicly dismissing this threat, in terms of its actions, it did move a missile interceptor into the area to basically try to beef up missile defenses on a temporary basis, and it was flying B-2 bombers over the demilitarized zone to deter North Korea from acting on these threats. Well, in the midst of this crisis, the North Koreans, a satellite, their KSM-3, passed over the United States. They had launched this thing probably in December, several months before the crisis actually occurred, but they must have known that a crisis was going to occur. And so they were all set up, as it were, to practice an EMP attack by orbiting a satellite over the South Pole, over the United States. Coming from the south, we have no ballistic missile early warning radars that look south. We have no interceptors facing south. It would be, in effect, attacking us from our blind side.
Precisely the altitude that you would want for an EMP kind of strike, especially if, as you've pointed out with Jim Woolsey in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere, Peter Pry, they have a super electromagnetic pulse design that would fit in it. Peter, all of these threats are of such great concern. And of course, it goes without saying that the North Koreans knew that they were going to create a crisis by testing that underground device. So you're right about them having been able to put in place the means of delivering this kind of attack against us if they'd wanted to. What should we be doing at this point? Talk a little bit about the work you're engaged in at the moment, at the state level especially. I'm so proud of you for what you're doing there.
Well, thank you, Frank. Yes, we continue to try at the federal level through things like the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, which has been reintroduced into Congress this year, and we have high hopes that will finally pass, to try to get a national solution to this problem. But we've been trying for years, since 2009, to pass a bill that would require the hardening of the U.S. electric grid. And we know how to protect the electric grid. There are proven technologies, Faraday cages, surge arresters, blocking devices that the Department of Defense has used for 50 years. But the electric power industry has successfully blocked us through its lobbying efforts in Washington. And so we went to the states just a couple of years ago to try a different strategy to try to outflank them, because the state public utility commissions have the legal authorities to require utilities within that state to protect themselves. And you can, and it is technically possible. In fact, it was one of the recommendations of the EMP Commission, what's called islanding a grid, a state grid. And so even though most states are part of a larger regional grid, if you put in these passive protections, Faraday cages, surge arresters, and the like, it doesn't affect the normal day-to-day operations of the electric grid. But if there's an EMP or an overvoltage that results from a hurricane or a tornado knocking down high power tension lines, or if a cyber attack tries to create overvoltages that would destroy transformers and SCADA systems,
or an intense solar storm as well, all of these things can be mitigated.
Many of us are even more concerned about the threat from the sun, because a great geomagnetic storm is overdue. You know, they occur about once a century, and the scientific consensus is that we're overdue for one of these things.
We are indeed. Peter, unfortunately, we're overdue for the end of this block. I'm so sorry that we're out of time, but you've laid before us the threat prognosis in such a powerful way. Please keep up the great work that you're doing at the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security and with the Secure the Grid Coalition. And you can find out more about all of this, folks, at securethegrid.com. Peter, come back to us more. We're going to have to drill down on what else can be done by all of us to try to ensure that we do, in fact, secure the grid. In the meantime, keep up the great work. Next up, Joe Katzman joins us to talk about the proliferation of sophisticated but relatively low-cost military technologies around the world and what they might mean for your security. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.